Morning. Morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Second Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Second Chronicles 7, verses 1 through 5. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, "Truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. King Solomon offered 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Thus the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could come before you and spend some time with you in your word and in prayer and in worship. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to talk about extravagant worship. Extravagant worship. So this story that comes, that we read today, it comes after the building of the temple. King Solomon has it in his heart. King David has it in his heart to build a temple for the Lord. And he charges his son, Solomon, when he becomes king, to build a temple. So King Solomon builds this temple. And he brings the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And people gather and they worship and they praise the Lord. And when they do that, the glory of God comes down. And Solomon prays a prayer of dedication. And then it says the fire comes down from heaven. So fire comes down, and what we see in verse 1, this is what we talk about when we say the Shekinah glory of God. This is just a side note, but we sing that song sometimes, Shekinah glory come down. And I feel like people probably don't know what Shekinah means. And Shekinah is not a term used in the Bible, but the idea is there, and Shekinah means he caused to dwell. So it kind of refers to God's dwelling presence. So when it talks about when the Israelites are in the story of Exodus and the glory of God comes down in a pillar of cloud, and it says God dwelled amongst the Israelites, that dwelling presence of God is what we refer to when we sing Shekinah glory. So that's just a side note. Shekinah glory come. So Shekinah glory comes down, and the fire of God comes, and the glory of God is dwelling in this temple. It's a special revelation of his glory. And then what we see in verse 4 and 5, King Solomon and the people offer sacrifices before the Lord. And it says Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep. And that is extravagant. You know, that's an extravagant amount of sacrifice that Solomon is bringing. The other time where a number is mentioned in terms of how much sacrifice someone was bringing is in the beginning of 2 Chronicles when King Solomon just becomes a king. He burns 1,000 burnt offering unto the Lord. And as you guys know, after he burns 1,000 burnt offerings, God appears to him in a dream and he says, "Whatever you want from me, I'll give it to you." And Solomon asks for wisdom. So 1,000 was a large amount of worship that pleased the Lord. And in this time, it's even more. He brings him 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep. This is unimaginable, really, that he would do this in one day. It actually says in the scriptures that he had to create a special altar in the courtyard of the temple, which is what Solomon's porch is. This is the courtyard of the temple. And he had to build a special altar there to offer the sacrifices because the normal altar was not big enough. It just couldn't handle the number of sacrifices. So, extravagant worship. And I believe this is what God desires from us. When I was reading this passage, you know, it struck out at me. God desires extravagant worship from us. This kind of sacrifice, this kind of worship is what he desires from us. But extravagance is not easy. The definition of extravagance is a lack of restraint in spending money or use of resources. A lack of restraint in spending money or use of resources. So in a way, extravagance is considered a negative thing. You know, we talk about people having an extravagant lifestyle. You know, extravagant gift, extravagant meal. And we kind of say it with this disdain. You know, we say, oh, this is so wasteful. So wasteful, so unwise. You know, and we are taught to, from an early age, we're taught to have restraint when it comes to spending money. We talk about restraint. We need to have a budget. We need to see how much we can spend. You know, as you guys know, I'm going through a wedding planning process right now. And if I didn't have restraint, this wedding would be crazy. Right? Weddings are so expensive, and you could just add things on so easily. So I need to practice restraint. You know, when we talk to each other and we plan our wedding, we're like, no. We can't be too extravagant. We need to, you know, save money. We got to think about what's the purpose of our wedding. And it's not just to have extravagant things. We need to have restraint. And we're taught to, you know, calculate and have restraint. And that's what we do. And I think that's why partly extravagant worship is difficult too, because extravagance just doesn't seem like a wise thing. We're taught to have restraint and calculations. But when it comes to God, extravagance seems to be a good thing. Extravagant worship in the scripture seems to be honored and praised. So when I read this, I read this passage on Monday, and I was meditating on this passage, and this part jumped out at me, so I was thinking about it, and I felt like God was calling me into extravagant worship. And so I was thinking about it. What does extravagance mean? What does extravagant worship mean for me? And honestly, my first reaction was, oh, what a burden. You know, I was like, oh, extravagant worship seems like a burden. 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep. I was trying to process in my mind what extravagant worship looked like in my life, and my initial reaction was that of heaviness, you know? Like, oh man, that seems like a lot. What is God asking of me? It's like that passage in Micah that Pastor Eugene talked about when the Israelites responded to God and said, it was 1,000 cow, is that enough for you? 10,000 rivers of olive oil, is that enough for you? It wasn't quite that degree. I wasn't that like bitter towards God, but it's just like, I was like, oh man, that seems like a heavy burden, this extravagance. What is that going to look like? And then immediately, praise God that it was pretty immediate in my mind. As I was going through this emotion, God reminded me of another passage. So let's turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke 7, verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 47. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one who he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Ouch. For me, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You do not realize that you are a sinner and that you have been forgiven much." And I was ashamed, and I had to repent. And I had to really bring myself to a place of repentance and kind of recognizing again that, yeah, I am a sinner, and God has done so much. He has shown me so much grace and forgiveness and mercy that I can be in a relationship with Him. And yeah, I had to repent of this prideful attitude. So I want to ask you this morning, who do you identify with? Are you like that Pharisee who did the minimum? You know, I imagine the Pharisee in his mind, he was thinking, surely this is good enough. You know, I've invited the teacher for a meal, you know, calculating in his head, you know, I'm spending this much money on the meal. I forget it. I'm not going to wash his feet. I'm not going to do this and that. Here, you can have a meal. And surely this is good enough. But this woman, you know, or do you identify with this sinful woman who, you know, without restraint, without really calculating, without thinking about what she was doing, she just gave all that she had to worship Jesus. I want to say to us, God is not one to burden us with heavy things. You know, God doesn't come down and he burdens us with this pressure or this burden of giving him extravagant worship. So that was the mindset that I had, and that mindset needed to change. That's where my initial reaction comes from, you know? This idea that, oh man, God wants to, you know, he burdens us with this heavy burden of worshiping him extravagantly. But that's a wrong view of God, and this needed to change in my heart to be able to offer God, you know, extravagant worship. Extravagant worship is a heart response to the goodness of God. He who is forgiven much loves much. Extravagant worship is a love response, a gratitude response, because we recognize the greatness of God's grace and his love for us. I think we offer God extravagant worship because he offers us extravagant love. Because God is an extravagant God who gives us grace unconditionally. He pours out his grace, he pours out his love upon us. And if we experience the extravagance of God in our lives and we recognize the blessings that he has given to us, then I think spontaneously, out of our heart, we say, God, I love you, and you deserve this extravagant worship. So it's not a thing where we try to calculate. You know, I don't think we can offer God true extravagant worship if we simply try to do it. You know, if we felt like this was something we had to do, so we try to fulfill this extravagance quota, that's not going to work. Because then we're still measuring and calculating, and we'll be thinking, okay, when is it good enough? When is my extravagance good enough? So that we can stop right there. We're like, okay, this I think is extravagant enough. And okay, I'm going to stop right there. But that is missing the point, you know. Extravagance is a lack of restraint. It's a lack of calculation when it comes to, you know, worshiping him. And it comes out of love, right? It comes out of this intense love and gratitude that we have for the Lord. I think extravagance, we always forgive extravagance when it comes to love. You know, we see a man buying an expensive diamond ring, for his fiance, and we say, diamond rings are a waste of money, but it's forgivable because of love. You know, we say, okay, that's okay. You're a man in love with this woman, so we say extravagance is okay. So, you know, when it comes to the Lord, I want to suggest, I want to encourage us, challenge us today. What does extravagant love and extravagant worship mean for you? For King Solomon, it was 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep. That's a huge amount of, you know, sacrifice that he is bringing to the Lord. But it's not the same for everyone, right? We all have different things, I think, that we hold on to. We all have different things that we hold back from God. It might be time. I mean, it might be money, right? As, you know, King Solomon offers up sacrifice, which is, for us, will be money. But it might not be money. It could be time, you know? It might be God's asking us to spend a long time with him. And people are saying, dude, that's a waste of time. You're spending a whole day with the Lord? Like, why are you doing that? But people may not understand, but you know that this is your worship unto the Lord. And I think it also might be fasting food. You know, I just talked to a brother who is fasting for 40 days, again, after our annual fast in the beginning of the year. So I was like, I was shocked. It's like, why are you doing this? But, I mean, he didn't express it this way, but I think in his heart, this is his extravagant worship unto the Lord. And I might think that's crazy, but for him, this is his love response to the Lord, and it's his way of worshiping him. I'm reminded of Luke 21, verse 1 through 4, where he talks about the widow's mite. Well, I'll just read it for us. Jesus looked up, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coin. And he said to his disciples, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on. So extravagant worship is different for everybody, you know? Just because somebody else is fasting 40 days doesn't mean that's what you have to do. And just because you are fasting 40 days doesn't mean that your worship is extravagant. Because it's a matter of the heart. You might be fasting 40 days and thinking, surely this is extravagant enough, God. And I've met my extravagance quota. And if we go to God with that kind of attitude, I don't think God's going to be pleased with that worship. Because he's looking at the heart and the love response that we have towards him. So this morning, let's just pray. I'll pray for us. And Jeff is going to come and lead us in a time of singing and worshiping the Lord through singing. And you know, extravagance might look like King David dancing before the presence of God, you know? It could be that God's asking you and saying, don't be so reserved and calculating in the way you worship, but worship me with all your heart and with all your strength, with all your body. You know, don't be unashamed in your worship of me. It might just be an attitude thing for us, you know. Some of us have an attitude when we come before the Lord, like, oh, I'm doing this again, and it's a burden, and, you know, I don't want to do this kind of thing. And God might be challenging you and saying, hey, where's your heart? Do you see yourself like the Pharisee who felt like he was doing enough? Or do you see yourself like the sinful woman who was just so grateful? She recognized her sin. She recognized that she needed the grace of God, that she was desperate for the mercy of Jesus. And so when he gave that to her, she just responded. So let's go before the Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You know, God, I come before you and I ask that you will move in my heart, that I will be able to give you an extravagant worship, God, that I will not sit here with this attitude of the Pharisee and saying, God, is this enough? Surely I've done enough. But God, that I would recognize recognize your mercy, recognize your grace, your forgiveness and your love. And I pray for that revelation for all of us, God. You know, unless we have that revelation, unless Holy Spirit, you move inside of us, God, and we recognize who we are and the mercy and the grace you've shown to us. God, this extravagance, this will just be another chore. But God, if it comes out of this place where we truly recognize and you give us that revelation, God, of your love and of of who we are, you know, then I think it'll be pleasing to you, Lord. I thank you that you're already pleased with us, God, but I pray that we'll be able to truly meet you and give you this kind of worship, for you deserve it all, Lord. So Holy Spirit, come and move us in this time. We thank you, Lord.
You're wonderful.
Thank you, God. Yeah, we just say that you truly deserve it all, Lord. You deserve our worship. You deserve our everything. I pray that we will not I pray that we will be unreserved, God, that we won't have reservations in worshiping you, God, in giving you our lives, giving you our hearts. So Holy Spirit, would you come and stir our hearts, move in our hearts, God, move us to worship you extravagantly. Thank you, Lord. Go before the Lord for our corporate prayer. Let's pray for people with cancer going through chemo and waiting for a transplant. Let's really pray with faith. Let's continue to contend. Let's not lose heart in praying and asking the Lord to deliver and bring salvation. So let's pray for our people on the list this morning. To the second slide, let's pray for our friends and family members that don't know Christ yet and they're going through illness, serious illness. Let's pray for healing and salvation. Let's pray for God's mercy upon them. Let's pray together. God's peace and strength, comfort and healing to come upon them. Let's pray together. to our fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends and church members that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's breakthrough. And let's pray that God's presence will be so strong in their hearts, in their lives. Let's pray for that heart of contentment, even in this time of difficulty. So let's lift up our friends. And let's pray for God's provision too. Favor of breakthroughs. So let's pray for our friends. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley. Let's just continue to pray for just comfort and strength, encouragement that will continue in their good work that they're doing. Let's pray for Pastor Robert O and his vision for Cambodia. Let's pray that he would be able to really just have God's wisdom, discernment, strength. Pray for Pastor Tang, pastor of New Life Church, which is a church that we have a connection with. And let's pray for two trips coming up, the Bloom missionary trip and the worship team, worship conference trip coming up. So let's just pray for Cambodia and for our involvement with Cambodia. Let's pray together. Up there. Let's pray that they will be able to hear from God very clearly. Let's pray for their own relationship with God, that their intimacy will grow. They'll fall deeper in love with God each and every day. And let's pray for God's protection over them and their family as they are in this leadership role for the church. So let's pray for our board. Let's lift them up together. pray for the men and women's ministries. Let's pray for the retreats coming up. Let's just continue to pray for our leaders, that they will be able to hear from God and plan the retreat well. Let's pray for, let's pray that everybody will be able to go. You know, let's pray that every woman, every man in our church will be able to commit their time to go to this retreat that will be so powerful. Let's pray that God will move in a powerful way at the retreat. So let's pray together. God thing. We're just praying into that, you know, believing that God will provide. Let's pray that our church, not just financially, but spiritually, and in the way we serve, in the way we worship, that we would be ready also for the new building, for SP 2.0, for the expansion that God has in mind for us. So let's pray for SP and the vision for new building. Let's pray for the donor to come through, and let's pray that we as a church will be ready. So let's pray together. Church's meeting tonight. Let's pray that it'll be a powerful time of gathering, fellowshipping, and worshiping and sharing the word together. Let's pray for each house church meeting tonight. Pray for the leaders. So let's lift up the house churches. Every single prayer, God, I thank you that there is power when we pray. Thank you. I pray that you increase our faith, God, as we pray. Spend time with you praying this morning. And as we get together with you, Lord, this morning to worship you and pray to you just on our own, I pray for intimate times of just meeting with you, God. Lord, help us to remember this extravagant worship that you call us to. We would be so happy and so full of joy in giving to you, God. Spirit, walk with us throughout our day. Help us to bring a joy to your heart in everything that we do. I pray for your favor upon each and every person and all that we're doing today. And we give this day to you. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.